Do you like my hat? Do you like my hat? I think it's so cute. I think it's very pink. But you know what the best part about my hat is? It keeps me from getting skin cancer on my light, light, fair skin. It's UPF 50. If you go to my stories, you'll see a little story about my hat and how funny I was laughing at myself wearing the hat outside. So welcome to Empath Rising with Raven Scott and the Empath and Narcissist podcast. I'm here helping you find your map to align with your authentic self and heal after narcissistic abuse with human design. So today is a live Q&A session. Drop your questions and comments below. Say hello to me. Where are you at? Where are you listening? And do you have your chart? Let's go over if you don't have your human design chart in front of you. I can pull that up for you and send you a summary. But if you want it right now for the live, head over to jovianarchive.com. You just need to fill in your birth information, just like an astrology natal chart. And then you can have that to pull up and look at. Thank you for loving my hat. It's not high fashion, but I think it's high mama UPF. The pink is, you know, my skin's pink, so I thought the pink wouldn't look good, but it actually looks good. Thank you for that. I appreciate you saying that. So do you have questions about human design? We're going to go through, in a recent video and episode, I said, I'm sure I created an episode about the human design types. I'm pretty sure I created one for the exclusive podcast, but maybe I never put it up on the public. So we're going to go over the human design types as well today. And then if you want to learn more, you can learn all about it in part 4, Empath's Guide to Rising Strong. So this has all about your human design type and how to go through it. You can even color all of your centers, color, you know, what is on your chart. And then there's human design gates. Yes. Thank you. Absolutely. The hat is high function. That's all that matters when she get older. So let's go through some of my notes. I see your comments coming in. Thank you. So good to see you here. Hello, hello. And so we're going to talk about, first of all, how human design aids you in your healing journey from narcissistic abuse. Maybe they're just toxic people. Maybe it's just the toxic society in general conditioning you to be a certain way. And structures are wonderful. I love structures, but sometimes it can kind of shoehorn us into one type. And what I discovered when I discovered human design is that there are 5 different types in generality. And then there's all these different profiles, which adds to your characteristic and your personality. And then there's all the gates that you have, which adds even more complexity to who you are. And there's your definition and your inner authority. So what I find with human design, it is like an intense, multi-layered self-discovery and self-development tool. And as you get more and more into it, and I've gone deep in the rabbit hole, I realized that when I also do episodes on this, when the zodiac seasons come about, I then go to my book, because I'm still studying this from my own book, and I'm like, okay, let's memorize all of the Pisces gates, which I've created, and that airs on Friday. Let's go through all the Pisces gates. And you know what? I even took it a step further the other night, and I color coded all of the numbers on the human design body graph to find, like, is there a pattern to where the gates are? You know, because each gate, the number on those centers are related to a zodiac. So anyways, that's going beyond just the general topic I want to talk about today, but you can see how deep you can get into it. So each season I go, okay, what gate is going to be highlighted? What gate or personality trait or kind of energy is going to be coming up that I get to work through in my own personal development journey? And so I don't know, it's just really cool to go through. Maybe I'm just a human design nerd and I love it. So drop in the comments below if you have any questions about human design. We're discussing, how does human design aid in your healing? So human design for me, when I discovered it, really helped me see that I wasn't who I was conditioned to be. And it also showed me, like, where I was being such a people pleaser. And I thought that that was my lot in life. I thought, well, I've always been a people pleaser. Like, that's just who I am. And that's just it. And it was like this cycle that I couldn't break out of until I saw in my chart that, oh, that's because I have an open will center. Hey, that also is because I have an open solar plexus. Oops, I also have an open root center. Holy crap. That's like a whole formula for being a people pleaser. So then I see that and I go, okay, it's okay. I can now guard myself up. I can become aware and I can start growing emotionally at the emotional gym by rewriting certain patterns in my life, by changing how I do things. And then once you have the mindset and awareness of your human design chart, it's almost like that oomph of knowledge. It's like, nope, I don't have to say yes to this right away. I'm not going to be sold on it. I'm not going to buy this BS right now. And sometimes you might still buy into the BS when you're in the moment because you're amplifying that particular energy. But then afterwards, you can kind of spend time in your inner authority and go, no, that just doesn't seem right. That does not resonate. That does, all of the actions don't line up. So now you can say, okay, I need to just guard myself up even more with this will center being open, right? So don't buy into it right away. So that's really a way that it can help you heal. A lot of times I'm going through the chart and sharing with people like what their type is, what their inner authority, like what is their main incarnation cross. And a lot of the times they say, wow, like, and they'll start to either cry or just be so in awe because what I'm sharing with them that is a superpower for them or is their trait that is innately within them. That is something that the narcissist has been hounding them over and over that that's their weakness or that's the problem with them or that's a personality flaw. And no, that's actually your personality trait. We all have shadows that we can work through each personality trait. But if you're not using it for bad, you're not being judgmental, then that's actually your superpower that the narcissist is trying to suppress. So human design and understanding it is a huge, it's like a flashlight, you know, shining the clarity and busting out all the lies of the narcissist that they're trying to feed you, to try and keep you down. So I'm going to read a comment here. I have an eighth house Scorpio stellium. Whoa. So that would be interesting for me to know which gate aligns with that energy. You're a 5-1 self-projected projector with the LAX defiance. Ooh, very nice. Okay. So let's get into that. Let me take my banner off and answer this question before we get into the basics of human design. So eighth house stellium, so let's take a look. It would also be interesting to know if you can put in the comments maybe one or two of the gates. Let's see. Well, you'd have to have your two charts next to each other. So I'm trying to think of the simplest way to do this. Let's go through and see if you have your chart in front of you. I'm going to share with you the Scorpio gates, and we can maybe pull out one of those. And then what happens when you look at your chart, in the boxes left and right, there are these numbers in these boxes. Those are gates. And then there's symbols next to the numbers. Those are planets. And on the right side, that's like your astrology natal chart. So the planet is in that particular zodiac and gate at the time of your birth. So then we can kind of look at those. So you have gate one of self-expression, which is in the identity center. So what planet is that next to? Gate one on the right, if you have it. We have gate 28, the gate of struggle in the spleen for Scorpio. We have gate 43, insight in the Ajna center, that second triangle for Scorpio. We have gate 44, energy. That's also the spleen in Scorpio. And then a cusp is gate 14, power skills in Scorpio. That's in the sacral. So, of course, that makes a lot of sense that there's a lot of spleen energy there in the gates with Scorpio because Scorpio is a deeply intuitive that you just know, you can sense, you have the sixth sense, you have a deep spiritual knowing, you know the depths. Very, very intuitive. And them being in the eighth house, you are a wounded healer. So you have that deep intuitive feeling and knowing. And I'm sure, did you, Leah, did you watch the episode recently with Carmen Turner Shaw? We went in depth on the eighth house, and she talked about how the eighth houses are the wounded healers. They are the ones who experience like a tragedy, a loss, or a death. There's the I'm trying to think of what else was in there. Like, it's just a deep, dark, like maybe also they're like mediums, and you experienced a lot of different dimensional, beings or entities, things like that. Those are certainly eighth house. Yes. Yay, good. Okay. So with all of those eighth house Scorpio stelliums, which gate aligns with that energy? So all of those gates that I referred to as Scorpio would align with that energy. So you probably have, I don't know how many planets, but you have a couple of these gates defined next to a planet, which would be in your chart. So you have self-expression. Self-expression is in a self-identity. So that's, we can take a look at that. I have organized in the book, let's see, I think it's before that, the gate into centers. Now it's here. So self-expression. So the energy of self-expression is, you always having the capacity to express your authentic self and to communicate with sincerity and integrity. And you have self-initiation, you have independence, you have the courage to begin, and the balancing individuality and connection, inspiring others. You have a very pioneering spirit, and involves pioneering and willingness. So this sounds a lot like, of course, the identity center is connected to the throat, but if I pull up, uh-oh. I was just gonna say, if we look at the chart, I don't think gate one. Yes, it does. Okay, good. It does reach up to the throat. So do you have a gate or a number up in your throat that connects down to the identity center to make a channel? Or is that identity, like that identity gate, reaching up, trying to connect to the throat? And that could be a bit of a struggle as a projector as well, trying to be seen and heard. So you have to be patient, wait for the invitation, and allow that self-identity, the individuality, and inspiring others. The pioneering spirit absolutely is a profile five. That's like the essence of five, is the expansion of spirit, the expansion of like our systems here on Earth, like just blow the popsicle stand. Like there's things beyond this realm, and that's very much eighth house and Scorpio as well. Very mystic, psychic, all of those things. Okay. Yes, and I'm just reading the comment here, especially resonating with her observation that we aren't necessarily feeling love, but others' pain. A deeply, deeply empathic trait, yes. In the whole sign, I have North Node, Uranus, co-present with conjunction of the Sun, Mercury, and Mars. Wow, that is like a lot of energy there. So you have this yearning. The North Node is your soul's yearning towards what is your mission here on Earth? What are you ready to pursue and evolve into? And you're saying that, yes, in the eighth house, you have the North Node. So that's pushing forward into the mystical realms. Uranus, that's totally that profile five as well, the rebel, being different, kind of shaking things up. Like, let's shake up the status quo here. Absolutely. And it's present with a conjunction with the sun. So the sun, as a conjunction, is illuminating the North Node, your soul's, goal. Like all of that, the way you present yourself also is like the way that your soul is wanting to yearn forward, as well as being the rebel. So maybe you are the black sheep of the family. Maybe that sounds like a bit of what I see, like the sun is shining on these certain energies in your chart. Yeah, and Mercury and Mars. So you're, that's exactly it. So you're communicating. And I wonder, if gate one on your chart on the right is next to the Mercury symbol, because this is a lot about self-expression through your identity center. And I wonder, is your identity center colored in and defined, or is it white and open? Let me know. Okay, you do have the channel 8-1, so you can fully express that up into your throat. And 11-43, 63-4, and 64-47. So she's talking about her channels. If you're not familiar with the channels, when a line is colored in all the way and connecting one center to another, it's almost like a rainbow or a bridge. That's called a channel connecting the two centers. And that creates this electromagnetic, like extra personality, strength, and trait within you. Combining those two gates, and they're reaching and they're touching, almost like a lightning bolt. Mercury is on 43 and the sun is on 1. Okay, so your identity, your sun, that's so funny, it's like literal. Your sun is expressing self-identity. You express yourself out into the world, this confident, independent, kind of like a free spirit person, and that being the 0.5, the 0.5 is your profile, which is that heretic. The heretic is the person who expands all the boxes, who says, oh, well, why is it this way? Why should it be this one way that everyone thinks? It should be like this. And we're all like, what are you talking about? You're like, you have this very deep and expansive being, like the heretic. How do I describe this in words? Like, you know, for example, the white witches back in the time, like they were seen as scary and mystical, but yet they had really deep wisdom and knowledge. And that 5 profile line is just before you reach the top of the I Ching of completion into the role model. So it is a leader. The 5 is a leader. So you are, in essence, in your self-identity as a projector, you are a leader in showing people how to be your own unique, authentic self, which is totally radically different than everyone else. So that's really beautiful. I hope that that affirms you and you feel like you're embracing that, because that can be dampened down quite a bit. The profile 5 is scary to a lot of people. So then define center's head, Ajna, throat, and G. And all those open. Okay. So I only asked her about her self-identity because we've been talking a lot about gate one, which is in the self-identity, and that's her sun gate. That's like a big prominent gate for her. And I was just curious because projectors sometimes can, you know, all of us, depending on, can struggle with like being pulled into the wrong group or the wrong relationship or crowd if they have that G center or the identity center white or open. When you have it colored in, it's defined within you. You're very confident. You're sure of yourself. You don't amplify how other people identify about themselves, which kind of is helpful as a projector. Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, you're welcome. I'm so glad. I'm so glad I can help. And I can touch on one more gate, the 43. That is the love of body. And that's also in the identity center. So the love of body next to Mercury. So what you love to talk about, your communication and your processing of everything, is gate. Nope, that's wrong. Sorry. I went to my index and I thought I read 43, but I read 46. 43, insight, Ajna. There we go. That's the correct information. You're like, no, that's not right. Your gate 43 insight in the Ajna. Yeah, 137. So that's, you said your Ajna was defined. So you have a consistent way of receiving this information, receiving your insight, your breakthroughs. And because that's also in Scorpio, you have deep intuitive psychic ability type insights. Like you said, like you can feel how other people feel, even though they don't tell you outwardly how they're feeling. Very accurate. Amazing. Isn't it so affirming? Like just going, like if you're watching this and you're like, what the heck is she talking about? Let me know, Leah, in the comments below, or anyone else watching, like, share with me, how does this make you feel when you know all this information? Do you feel like you can be BS and you can be pushed around by a narcissist? Or do you feel like you finally have like some type of kryptonite or superpower against them? So let's just cover the basics of human design for all of you who are new to it and you're wondering what the heck I was just talking about. Human design is a body graph. And let me see if I can pull it up here. I did not have time to prepare any type of graphics. Let me see. I'm going through my book to try and show you. But human design is a combination of astrology, of the I Ching. Here's like, so this is an example of the body graph that you can color in. You're like, okay, which centers do I have defined? And you get to color all those and then the channels. So human design is a combination of astrology, I Ching, the Kabbalah, and the chakra systems, and this modern science of neutrinos. So all of these combined allows you to see your unique human design, like your energy blueprint. We talk about energy and particles and photons passing through us. Today is Wednesday, so tomorrow we actually get to hear on the Empath and Narcissist podcast about auras. And she was talking about the physics about auras and photons and light particles passing through us. That's the same thing with human design. So we're all made up of all these different tiny material things of water and light and air, and this all kind of creates us. So this human design is an energetic blueprint. It's an energetic map that tells you, okay, where all the different energies were when you were born. And this is kind of like your personality trait from it. And then all the energies of when you were in the womb still, 88 days before that, your subconscious, the things that kind of lay the foundation for who you are out in the world. And that's pretty cool because all those red lines on your chart is your subconscious. And so a lot of the cycles that we go through in our patterns and relationships are from the subconscious part where we're not aware of what we're doing. And we're like, why does this keep happening? And then we're like, let's go to your red lines in your chart and let's take a look and see, or let's go to those open centers and see what's happening over there. So it's just a really cool, like, archaeological dive into your energy. Hello, thanks for joining. If you're new here into the live, we're just going through the basics of human design. We answered and went through just a tiny snippet of a listener's chart. And Leah says, it resonates 100%. I feel like I've found who I really am. And I'm able to create safe boundaries and not be manipulated or sucked in by others who want to take advantage of my empathy. Especially with so many planets in the eighth house, you have so much empathy. You have a whole bunch of open centers, those open solar plexus you had mentioned. You are a projector, so you've got your open sacral happening there, and it's a lot. Yeah, so, and you escaped your narcissist 15 years ago. So thankful I made it out alive. I am so thankful, Leah, that you made it out alive. It is not an easy feat. Thank you for that. So that's the basics of human design. Any other questions about the basics of human design? So it's the mixture of all those different ancient things. It gives you the roadmap of your energy. And it also helps you determine your strategy. Gives you your type. What does that mean, strategy? Like, how do you flow? You know how the universe like has a whole bunch, you have like different paths you can take in life. There's all these sliding doors. Which path do I take here? Do I take this path here? What's the right decision? I don't know. What do I do? Like all those questions we have. In human design, you actually have these tools that are innately given to your energy that you can trust and you can lean into. You know, speaking about your strategy and your human design types, which I'll go through since I couldn't find a video I created here. So we'll go over the human design types today and the strategy. You can also use your inner authority, which I know I have created a video about that. So your inner authority is how your intuition speaks to you, how you can trust yourself again, which I think is really huge when we are healing from gaslighting and manipulation and all the things, because you don't know what's right, what's up, what's down. You don't know anything anymore because they've just spun your brain around and mixed all the wires. So this helps you erase all the lies, erase all of, you know, untangle the wires in your brain and go, oh, that's who I am. I am a 6-2 pure generator. And then you're like, what does that mean? And so what we'll go through today is the types. And if you have any other questions, this is Ask Me Anything Q&A. So I'll also be answering any questions. So drop your questions down below here in the live. And if you're in the replay, feel free to do that as well. I can record another like short reel for you or a short video to answer your question. Okay, so how to discover your human design type. Let me take a little sip. Obviously, the easiest way is to pull your chart. I can send you a summary to kind of explain a little bit about that, as well as you can grab your free chart at jovianarchive.com. So there are five different types. I'm going to go through the different types. First, we have the generator. This type is has that square, second from the bottom up, colored in and defined. This person has we're kind of considered the busy bees. The generator is the doing person. They love to have everything orderly. A to Z is a great way, like being very thorough, like let's get this done from A to Z, organized. Has a lot of energy, you know, if we're looking at children, this child needs a lot of busy sports activities because their bodies like can't sit still. They got to keep moving, keep doing, because they have that defined sacral. The sacral is a motor, and so it's constantly going and going. And as an adult, if you have like a job that doesn't really exhaust your brain and you're sitting at a desk, then you're not going to be able to have a good night's sleep unless you go out for a run or go to the gym and do some type of workout. So the generators are those who are here to support the doing of the world, to help build things, build systems, build structures, you know, like taking the ideas and being that support system and working on the details. Then the second human design type is a manifesting generator. Manifesting generator has that sacral defined as well, but they have a motor that has that channel. Remember I talked about the color connecting, like the rainbow connecting another shape, a center. That is connecting up to the throat. So there's this manifesting type energy added to the generator energy of the do-do, go-go, where you can actually inform something to manifest it out and then at the same time work on it and do it. Of course, you can help other people too. You don't have to be one island. This is the thing I love about human design is we're all pieces to the puzzle and we help each other out. So manifesting generators typically are known as multitaskers. Maybe as a child, again, they can't sit still, but they're brains all over the place. They're multitasking. They're so quick and fast that they're done with learning this concept and they want to move on to the next. And they may be called ADD or ADHD. So this type of experiencing and learning through life is not from A to Z. It's not very linear. It's like, you open a book and you go, let's start at page 129. Like, what's going on over here? You start reading, you're like, oh, this is really interesting. Oh, I wonder what the beginning of the book is about. Oh, that's cool. Great. So you don't learn in just like 1 through 200. You learn like skipping around. And some you may have received judgment about that from the majority of the people in the world. And let me backtrack that 37%. Wait, I'm going to get these mixed up. It's so close. But the generator out of the population, here I have it on page 89 of my book. Yes, the generator is 37% of the population, where the manifesting generators are 33% of the population. So it's a big amount of people who have this type of lens or viewpoint on how to do things in the world, how to be. It's like a type. It's like a, what kind of colored glasses do you have on? Kind of like a viewpoint of the world. So the manifesting generator can be a bit shamed or guilted that they're scatterbrained or they're not doing it in the right order or things like that. Now, the next type is the projector. The projector is 20% of the population. And this is where we start to get into the types that have that open sacral. So the open sacral, where that doing energy, it's now not a motor, it's an amplifier. So it amplifies the motors around them. And a lot of times people say, well, everyone who is non-sacral, quote unquote, non-sacral, they don't have energy to do anything, which I think is completely opposite. Here's my like unpopular opinion. I think they have energy to do everything, and they have to determine where is the right place to put my energy. Because once they get on something, then they like amplify that energy and they'll burn the midnight candle, and then they'll exhaust and, you know, get burnt out. So having that white sacral isn't a no-go, like you don't have energy. It's actually you are amplifying energy, and you have to learn how to rest. You have to learn how to do nothing, which is really hard. And you have to learn how to just be. So, and maybe people who talk about it being like you don't have energy are people who have already burnt themselves out and are kind of talking about it in that way. But I'm just observing the projector in my life, who is younger and still learning how to manage that energy. She thinks she can do everything all the time. But this particular, you know, open sacral, they will start something and not finish it. So that kind of takes me to the next type, the manifester. But I want to touch on the projector a little bit more specifically about them. They are here with a probing aura to guide us, you know, when they have to wait for that invitation. We'll talk about the strategies in a second. The projector is the wise guide. They know, they're super keen on observing everything. They know the best and efficient way to do something. I'm always asking my projector in my life, like, oh, is this the way? And sometimes she'll offer her advice, but I don't shut it down because I know that even if she didn't wait for the invitation, I will always gladly take it. Whereas other people, if you don't wait for them in that invitation, they don't take your advice. And you have advice, you have wise counsel, like amazing advice that we all need to hear. But the timing is everything, and you have to wait for that invitation. So I'll get more into strategy. So then the next one is manifestor. So the manifestor is especially the one who initiates. They have a motor connected to their throat, and they have an open sacral. So they're here to have an amazing idea and to start, you know, a company, an idea or something, and initiate it. But then they need to build a team up around them to delegate, because they'll also burn themselves out. So the manifestor will start something and not finish it. And a lot of open sacrals do this as well. So projectors, manifestors, reflectors. You may start an art project, let's say a painting. You're like, I'm so excited, I'm going to do this. And then you do it and you're about a quarter of a way in. You're like, just not feeling this anymore. And you don't ever pick it up again. Where I could say, in contrast, someone who has that defined sacral will then come back and pick it up again if truly, if it's there for them. But that's the wisdom you got to learn in your open sacral. Is this worth my energy? Is it really for me? And that's where you start tuning into your inner authority. Because then maybe that painting really wasn't there for you, but someone else was painting something. You got super inspired. You kind of amplify that energy. And then you're like, I don't want to paint. This was a waste of 4 hours. And then the last type is the reflector. The reflector has every single shape and center white. We call that open on the chart. They're very rare. They are only 2%. And I'm sorry, the manifestor is 8%. You would think that I'm a manifesting generator because I bounce around back and forth and I'm not keeping myself linear and organized. But I swear I am a generator. I know, I keep double checking. But I do have that particular gate 34 in the sacral defined. And that can be a little bit tricky and make you kind of be a manifestor generator type person. So back to the reflector. The reflector is 2% of the population. They have all those white centers open. They are here to help us with the pulse of the people, the pulse of the environment. They're like the mirror. They absorb and they kind of feel everything. They amplify everything. And they can be really wise to assist us in the guidance of like, this is really a great space. This is a great energy. And I need to talk to more reflectors and absorb more reflectors to really hone in on them. But they're like our lunar moon bodies. Everything about them is like flows with the moon. So they share, they're like the canary in the coal mine, I always think. So they can sense like if there's something wrong and then they can alert us. So those are the five types. Let me know if you have any questions. Comment down below. Let's see. Because I want to share with you about your strategy, how each type can live in alignment. So how we can live in alignment is by following our strategy. And then also, how do we get confirmation that we are correctly following our strategy is by listening to our intuition, which in human design talk is your inner authority. So the strategy for generators and manifesting generators is to wait to respond, with the manifesting generator having that extra step of informing first. So for the generator, you are here to follow the breadcrumbs, to keep on just doing one next step that feels right, that delights you, what makes you excited, what makes you happy, what's delightful. Follow those breadcrumbs and opportunities, and they may wind left and right, here or there. And as a generator, just follow those candy pieces to the candy house, really. It's like, what delights you? What makes you happy? What lights you up? And then also, as you're picking up those breadcrumbs, what does your gut say? Does your gut say, yay, let's do it? Or does it say, this is not cool. This is weighty. This is heavy. This feels off. So if it's feeling off, then you don't pick up the breadcrumb. You find it, you know, you go the other path and you start going to the other direction, picking up another breadcrumb. The thing about following our strategy is when you respond, it's not always a yes. Sometimes responding is a no, and that can be really fulfilling and light you up as well. So those things, those breadcrumbs of even saying no, guide you then on the next right path, and it opens you up for more opportunities that the universe will bring to you and help you manifest. And this whole waiting concept as well with a manifesting generator, you inform and then you wait, is kind of like when you're trying to manifest and you are envisioning how you feel about it, you know, what's coming into your life. And you sit instead of like holding on tight and wishing and praying and hoping and like squeezing and forcing, that never ever really pans out, at least in my experience. But when you open your hands and you surrender and you say, whatever you bring to me, universe, for my highest good, for everyone around me's highest good, that's when the magic happens. And so that's how I see the waiting, is like just surrendering, waiting, doing what you love while you wait for the next opportunity to respond to. You're like, oh my gosh, I'd love to collaborate with that. That sounds amazing. Or no, thank you. This doesn't seem like a match, right? And so for the manifesting generator, you're going to have a little bit more initiation and you're going to have a little bit more like inspiration to initiate something and speak it. So it's always really important to inform and let other people know, hey, I'm going to start this, or hey, I'm going to do this art project, or if it's something kind of dangerous and scary, you know, that informing is really important, which also applies to the manifester. You have that intense initiating cutting energy. Your aura is kind of like, leave me alone. I got this. Like, I can do this. You are the manifester is the piercing, splicing type energy. Like, you see a problem in an area and there's a crack to open it up to, you know, clean it out and then solve it. That's the manifester's real ultimate talent. And so it can be intimidating and scary to others. And of course, every single type can be operating in the shadow. So if you are like, nope, I don't have time to do this, I'm going to do it, and, you know, everyone who's in my way, just watch out, there's going to be a lot of roadblocks in your way when you do that. So when you're informing people about what you're doing, then it allows the roadblocks to dissipate for you to just flow with ease on whatever you're accomplishing and doing. Now, who do we have left? The projector's strategy, or the way to live in alignment with your energy, is to wait to be invited. I talked about a little bit about this before. To wait to be invited is wait for that invitation. As you do what you do, you know, you're enjoying your life, kind of similar, where you're like following the breadcrumbs. And then because the projector is here to be that voice of guidance, the voice of wisdom and knowledge, you're going to have a lot of advice you want to give to people. So it's important to wait for the right timing so that they are ready to receive your amazing advice. Otherwise, it falls on deaf ears and you're angry and you're bitter and you're like, nobody hears me. So it's important to wait for that invitation, because we do want to hear you. Trust me. We just need to be in the right headspace, have the right timing. And if you are a projector, you can sometimes shortcut this by saying, hey, yeah, especially if you're noticing someone's frustrated, you're like, I see something. Can I say something? Or you may say, you know what? I notice that you're always frustrated around this about time, or like you're always frustrated doing this fill in the blank action. And if the person pauses and actually responds to you and is like, yeah, you're right, then that's another way to receive that invitation and be like, can I share with you some advice? And then you can share that advice. But if you just tell them with a finger pointed, or tell them your advice, then it doesn't bode well for you. You may be lashed out, you know, against, it may just completely fall on deaf ears and you're not heard at all, right? And then you're bitter. So that wisdom is incredibly needed in the world. And it is something that just, but it just takes a little bit of some grace to maneuver to get that out. So that's a strategy for projector. Wait to be invited. And then for the reflector, the last most rarest 1% of you, is to wait, which I'm so excited. Tomorrow, by the way, I'm talking with the reflector. She's interviewing me on her podcast. It's in my stories on Instagram. Carmen, I'm trying to drawing a blank, trying to like memory grab who she is. Carmen, and I can't remember her podcast. Name, I'm so sorry. It's in my Instagram stories. Definitely go take a look at that. Empath of a Narcissist podcast, Instagram. And we'll be going live tomorrow. So I'm so excited to be in a conversation with another reflector, with a rare reflector, not another, very rare. Wait 28 days is the strategy for the reflector. So wait those 28 days. Torture, right? I don't know. It's for major decisions. So what happens with the reflector, I think it's really important, just like the self-reflected inner authority that Leah had, that she mentioned earlier in this video, that self-reflected is really important, because it's that talking out, is that figuring out and all that. So it's something that you want to talk out, that kind of reflect, you know, what are you observing? What are you talking? And when you talk it out, you feel so much better. And you're like, oh yeah, that's what I need to do. That's it. So that's the strategy also for the reflector, is to wait 28 days, typically talk it out with someone who's trusted, obviously not someone who's manipulating you. Talk it out with someone who can allow you the space to talk without giving you advice. And then that reflection, that kind of talking to the mirror and mirroring others, will give you the discernment of what you need to do. So that's how you live in alignment with each type. And human design impacts our relationships. It impacts our careers. It impacts our next, you know, life decisions of what we're doing. And sometimes even different personality types or energy types clash. And I did do a couple series episodes about that. Like, when we're in our shadow in each type, like I think I did like manifesting generator clashing with the generator, and I did the generator clashing with the projector. And when we're not living in alignment with our strategy, we are going to then clash. We're going to butt heads. We're going to get in arguments. We're going to be frustrated with ourselves. this not self is what you're going to be experiencing and feeling, frustration with yourself and frustration as the generator and manifesting generator. So when you see that on your chart, you're like, not self, frustration. What does that mean? Does that mean I'm always frustrated? No, it means you're frustrated when you're not living in alignment with your human design type. So it's a great like sign. Hey, wake up. You're frustrated. What are you doing out of alignment with your strategy? I always find that I'm pushing too hard. I'm not waiting to respond. I'm pushing, pushing, going, going. And so I bump into frustration. That means I'm not in alignment with my waiting to respond. So as a generator, so yeah, it really does deeply impact our relationships. You can strengthen a relationship with somebody in your life. You can strengthen a marriage. You can also determine that that relationship is not worth pursuing because they just are not seeing you for who you authentically are. And they're not matching up to taking responsibility and really holding up to the litmus test. But when you're dealing with healthy, you know, interactions, it helps you heal. It helps you see the other person in such a deeper level that you have never really ever seen before. I remember dropping so many judgments and frustrations around my current husband. He is also a generator, but just for instance, his root center is colored in, defined. It's a motor. He gets, you know, a certain wave of when to do something and when not to do something. And so as an open root person who gets stuff done constantly all the time, like hurrying, scurrying, I have to learn from him to calm down and slow down. And it also frustrates me that he doesn't do things fast enough, like clean up this or clean up that. Like, I really need your help with this. And it takes him a long time until he's ready on his upcycle to get something done. So once I discovered that, I was like, oh, he's not a horrible lazy ass. He just has a defined root. Okay, got it, right? Because I had the life perspective of an open root. It's like, get stuff done yesterday. Why are you sitting on your butt and waiting to get it done? And so things like that can really help and support, you know, each other in that relationship to be like, oh, okay, like parenting children. This is such a great example. My kids already know their types and they're starting to at 10 and 8 now to say to each other, oh, like they're playing Minecraft. And my projector's like, oh, you know, I can't go as fast as you. I'm a projector. I can't like keep doing this. Like, but she's really keeping up and she's doing a good job, but she knows her limits. And she's like, I got this. And even though, you know, and my manifesting generator who's doing Minecraft, she can like build something really fast because she knows the shortcuts. I forgot that part. Manifesting generators know shortcuts and how to do things faster than everyone else. So it's just really fun to be able to have that tool to parent and coach your child according to their type, because every child kind of gets shoehorned into being a generator in the school system. So why do that at home? So it deeply impacts our relationships. It deeply impacts how we interact with each other. And it can actually enhance how we do that. And Ra Uruhu says that human design is for the children, which is when he downloaded in 84, that's for us, our generation, you know, like 84 and on, as well as our children. But it certainly can be discovered for you if you are not the children, because it's really great to know your blueprint compared to your adult child's blueprint and your grandchildren's blueprint. So I don't know, it's just really amazing. It's really impactful. And I think it goes back to what Leah says, that it really resonates. Like when you find your human design chart and you discover it, it really resonates with who you are authentically. It is like your soul's blueprinted self, like, and you're able to know where do you guard yourself up? Where are those boundaries? And we go through that in a coaching session and a reading. Like, what areas do you need to guard yourself up? What areas are you being manipulated in? And then, you know, how do you guard yourself up? It's really important. And once I realized that my open solar plexus was causing a lot of drama in my life because I was absorbing the emotions of everyone around me and taking responsibility for it, that drama stopped because I stopped engaging with the drama. My awareness became so just powerful that I was like, nope, not my circus, not my monkey, not my emotion, not my emotion. That's your emotion. That's your problem. That's not my emotion, right? And it helps with the stress and the nervous system in your body so much. And especially when you're dealing with narcissists who are constantly projecting crap onto you, you can now go, nope, that's not my crap. That's your crap. I have mine here and you have yours there, and that's yours. And you actually can visually know in your body where your crap is. And you're like, nope, that's not mine. That's yours. And I'm already working on mine. So don't give me more work and give me yours, right? So all in all, I think human design is extremely powerful, extremely helpful. And this is why I love talking about it in our healing process from narcissistic abuse and discovering who we are. It's extremely helpful. So I hope I've answered your questions. I really appreciate all of you being here and going through a bit of that fun rabbit hole with Leah on her human design chart. I hope that I helped you and resonated with you on some of those gates. Of course, if you want to get an in-depth reading, you can at on the link in the show notes. I can do a reading. And guess what? This book is brand new. It's a baby and it needs reviews on Amazon. So if you read it and write a review, you'll be entered to win by March 30th. You'll be entered to win a 2-hour free human design reading and coaching session, plus a signed paperback copy of it. So if you write a review and let me know, just take a screenshot and send it to me by March 30th, then you'll be entered to win. I'm going to draw three. So three lucky subscribers will be winning this prize once you write and review. So I guess read and review. So thank you. Thank you for being here and participating. And I want to just wish all of you a happy Wednesday. And remember, always keep your unique light shining. Thank you.